Let's Dig Into That, where we embrace the struggle of being intentionally human. Join us as we volunteer our vulnerability in pursuit of growth and lasting change.
That is right. That is right.
And who's this guy? He's strong-willed with an iron build, the juniper to my berry. It's JT.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. And everybody, the voice you just heard, person I always do this podcast with, she's kind, she's sophisticated, and she cares in all the best ways. Not to mention, when she's lazy, she still gets 20,000 steps a day. It's Jordan, everybody!
Oh, sophisticated in at a brisk clip. It's true, I don't sit alone.
I love how we went on a vacation and walked everywhere, like 9-10 miles every day, and still, the day before we left, the prep, you got way more steps that day.
Yeah, it's true that my anticipation, excitement, about burned a hole in our flooring. It's true. I like that I had a dermatologist. Everybody get yourself checked. Had a derm appointment right after that trip, and my feet, he was like, oh, God.
Blisters.
Did you do a pilgrimage of sorts? And so thank you for embracing my steps. Baby, I'm excited
for
today.
I think you know this, but this is my favorite episode we do each season.
It's pretty
invasive. Time for the third installment.
It's pretty invasive, and I know you love it.
I do.
I am really pumped. Thank you, Love Ninjas.
Yes.
They bring the thunder, and so this is inspired by curiosity from the outside, and I always hope I'm kind of going to learn something new about you.
Yes. So this week, what we're doing is we are answering our listener questions, a mix of deep, spicy, and slightly uncomfortable questions designed to crack us open and so we can all connect.
Yep.
We haven't prepped these. We are pulling these live, raw truth, no filter, because we're us.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prepping would be funny. I'd be like, oh, forgot that.
Yeah.
But no, yes, live
so
enough.
Big thank you to everyone who listens and chimed in with these questions. This is, the first one was kind of fun, like your favorite movie. Season two was like a little bit, these are like, just glancing at what we have in front of us.
There's big kid words.
I just
on
like,
there.
the only few that I glance at, I'm like, uh-oh.
I see the word cringe
somewhere
down this page. So yeah. I'm excited.
I'm super pumped.
Okay.
I've got the first question, right?
Oh, okay. Do it.
You want to just jump in?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Feet first.
All right, here we go. Oh, well, here we go.
And it's starting in, here we go.
Does marriage change freedom? Or just redefine it.
Does
Jordan.
Marriage? Good opener. This is, oh, yeah. What's our safe word for this episode?
Oh,
I'm kidding.
But
does marriage change freedom? Hell yeah, it does. There's paperwork involved. Like, you can't just be like, see you later. It's not. No. Marriage does change freedom, but I like the second part of that question, like redefining it, because yes, if you are legally binding yourself to someone else, yeah, some limitations. And so, I think if anything, this podcast has turned into a promo for make sure you are still having access to some semblance of freedom.
Yes.
Because I think, yeah, a marriage where you don't even get a whiff, really, really scary. And so we're in the struggle bus process of finding out what that. JT feels free when he's doing kind things for me.
That's true. That's very true. And to be honest, believe it or not, I agree with you.
Okay.
I think that marriage does change your freedom quite a bit. However, I would like to point out that we're talking about traditional marriage values. People are doing this however they want now. You know, like when you get married, you get to make your vows if you choose to. You get to decide the parameters. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one thing that I would say is traditionally, absolutely.
Yes.
But you get to design your marriage. It's not something you have to follow a path or get you get to do that.
Right. And is that freedom that offset value of security, you know, where you're like, I'm willing to sacrifice, compromise, give a little bit of this up for this. Oh, I've got a wingman for, like you said, that uniquely define how you want to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would say yes, with the caveat of, hey, do the work beforehand.
So,
before you jump into marriage, make sure you have the parameters of how you'd like it to be built.
Yes.
Established.
I loved our having the good divorce coach, the awesome Karen McNitty, on with us when she's like, yeah, so prepare for the crash landing.
Yes.
You know, before you even, you know, walk down the aisle. I kind of thought that attracted me a little bit. I thought that was smart planning. So yeah, I think the punchline being like, hope so. I hope you redefine freedom.
Yeah.
I hope you find that a way that works.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
Hey, let's move it along. What all you got right, for me?
All right.
Your turn.
Next in the deck. Okay. JT, what do you miss, if anything, about being single? And then there's a start. Please be brutally honest.
I think our listeners were hoping I was going to read this to you.
If anything. Yeah. Oh, like, no, I don't know.
I'll answer first, but I'm going to make you answer too. No, I don't miss anything.
Not dating, just being single. Well, yeah, unattached.
I always think about dating and being single I hate dating. I'm really bad at it. And I've talked about this with you before and probably on the pod before too. Every time I've been single and kind of been dating, I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how to do it. And I feel like I've hurt people's feelings. People who are interested in me and I'm maybe not as open and available as I thought I was. And I have to be like, hey, I'm still hung up on so-and-so or blah, 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 blah.
There's the piece. You carry so much guilt with being single because you are... Yep, you heard it here. JT's hung up on someone else has been the experience that you weren't, there was no closure where that ended. And so, yeah.
Hate it.
And then you felt that you had guilt about also leading someone on, whether you thought you were or not.
But. Right, exactly. And so I feel like my experience being single has been, I hurt other people's feelings and my own. It's terrible.
Terrible. So can you actually think you're single if you're emotionally still tied up in someone else? I mean, yeah.
Well, I think there's a lack of dating and experience that really make it hard for me too, where I just don't have like the skill set. And so every time I'm single, I'm still thinking about like the past relationship and like, I don't know. Yeah.
And you talk about like growing up though, and your family would, you know, go to the beach and whatnot in the summer. I think young Jordan would have been like, ayo, single for this summer trip. Like that would have been a very, and you were kept.
Yeah, no. Uh-uh.
You were connected. You were, what is that? Going steady.
Yeah.
You were going steady every summer.
That's right.
So what do I miss about being single? Oh, sweetheart, I love being married to you, but like, I don't know. I am a very autonomous individual. No breaking news there. And so I think just because I spent so much time people pleasing, there's a little bit of a, for lack of a high that comes with like, what do I want to do? And having nobody to answer to accommodate to. And it was an awesome opportunity to kind of realize to do a little more self-discovery because I was like, I don't freaking know how to spend my time. Cue alcoholism, right? Because then you're like, absolutely. I can fill some time giggling, you know? So, that I think what I miss about that is perhaps my lack of success on putting up good boundaries because I think I should be able to bring the things I loved about that time to my relationship. And well now said. I'm like, that freedom. I'm like, no, I'm bound to this person so I never get to pick lunch ever again. And so, just that,
time
you know.
Time to decide for what's for dinner.
Yeah.
Every night for the rest of your life. I get you.
And there are days everybody who's kind of had that phase where they're tough times especially if you're actively wanting to share your time, space, energy, heart with someone but when you string a couple of good days, like when somebody calls and like, hey, do you want us, you know, spontaneous adventure and you can hell yeah with the full body, pretty great.
It's pretty funny that those questions came out back to back as far as freedom and marriage followed by
being single. I know. So I was like, oh, we're going for it.
So what you miss is the change in freedom that happened in the last question.
Right. The absolute, the abolishing of freedom that occurs when you're tied to a human.
All right. Well,
do
moving
I need to
on.
Go again? Okay. Yep. I feel that was brutally honest.
That was good. You did awesome. All right. Here we go. Next question. What's one taboo or edgy part of your past that you've grown to love instead of shame?
Oh, edgy or taboo part of my past. Oh, I hope you're answering this one too. Well, I just brought up drinking, and I will say that knowing that I was too good at it, that there was, we were in the problem zone, the stigma, the fear I had, the shame that was pending on having to like say that out loud to other people.
Yeah.
And for me now to be like, oh my gosh, isn't it so cool that I don't, you know, like it is there. It doesn't register on the shame where it's just like, this is a part of me that I own where, yeah, I
that's great. That's
I lost the reins, and that takes time, and everybody's different in that experience, but I feel really
relieved to be really awesome.
Now it's, yeah, I feel like I get a badge or something for that one, but edgier taboo, yeah.
You want me to answer this one too?
I was an awesome drinker, and now, yeah, then I was ashamed about a lot of it.
Yeah, so, I get that.
I would love for you to answer that. What is something?
Yeah, my mind went to a couple different places on this. The first one was, I used to really struggle with being alone. And I felt like if I wasn't in the crowd, if I was just by myself and taking time myself, I was missing out on something that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing that came to mind. But something else happened to me. This made me think about therapy.
Yeah.
Because I see a therapist and I'm proud of it.
Yeah. And they help sometimes with that shame barometer.
Well, sometimes they like to remind me that I have been through a lot of loss and that I have experienced traumatic events in my life. And
your FOMO is justified. Yeah.
Well, not even. I'm sort of disconnecting those two thoughts. But they remind me of that. And I don't always like it. I've spent a lot of time in my life being sort of ashamed of the hard things I've dealt with because I felt like it tainted me. Does that make sense? Like, hey, you've been through a ton, damaged goods. Now I'm kind of like, yeah, I have been through a ton and I've done a lot of work on myself to make sure I'm good. You know what I mean? And so that's how I would really translate that is I used to really be ashamed and kind of hide like, oh, wow, that's a lot of loss in your life. That's a lot of hard things you've gone through because I was worried how other people would perceive
it.
And now I'm just kind of like,
yay. That's awesome. And what a cool self-awareness moment. But it's tricky that our, like, culturally, it's reinforced that you're like, oh, that's a very sensitive, like, tiptoe around. Like, you don't want to walk up and be like, hey, I heard, right. Oh my gosh, how about you're awesome? We just noticed you might have moved shops. But JT had a lovely lady, European, who cut his hair, was like, your dad died, right?
Yeah.
And it was just like straight to the
and
point.
I appreciated it.
Because it was holiday time and she was introing an expression of concern about like, make sure to take care of yourself. And that can be really hard. And
absolutely.
It was super sweet. But you're right that we're like pulling away from
right.
that kind of support when others are going like, ooh, he's a little delicate. I'm going to give some space.
Exactly.
And that's really isolating.
Right.
Holy jeez.
So now instead of being ashamed of the things I've been through,
right.
you know, I try to own it and be like, yeah, and this is what I've done to really be whole again after some of these things. And so that's how I'd answer that question.
It's always nice when your partner has to remind you of his traumas. Oh, God. He's like, you know, that was kind of tough.
No,
I'm like, oh,
you're doing
you've
it
been
right
doing
now.
Great work. You've been doing great work because I've forgotten. Good night. Oh, okay. Do you mind I go next?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Thank you, Love Ninja, for this next one. When does intimacy feel sacred? And when does it feel just hot and human? Okay, I like that. When does intimacy feel sacred and when does it just feel hot and human?
Oh, man.
Okay, I asked and I kind of want to jump in first.
Go for it.
The first part of that question was like, when does intimacy feel sacred? I am whispering in the dark. I did not go down it sounds like it could be kind of sexy.
I took it sexy 100%.
And I did not take it sexy at all. I took intimacy as like, when is it most sacred? Is when are you holding these vulnerabilities of someone else in this?
Oh.
I've got that for you. But I think now the hot and human. So that's not campfire secret time always, but can be.
Yeah.
So, all right. I just wanted to clarify, but for you, when does intimacy feel sacred?
I definitely went sexy.
Okay. So tell me about your sacred intimacy.
Again, earmuffs for family members.
yeah.
I think that when you're intimate with someone sexually, you start to learn them. You get to know about their body. You get to know about their likes, their desires.
That's an excellent
that
point.
That is so intimate. And I think that's why it's hard when you think about your partner with someone else, like having those moments that feel
don't think about
so
that.
Personal. I know, but it feels so personal to you guys. But like everyone has a rhythm. When you're with someone for a long time, you learn them. And that's what's really sacred. In my opinion.
That is really great.
But it's not always the case. Sometimes you're just going for it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And there's a place for both.
I was going to say yes. The intimacy isn't sacred in knowing when that hot and human is appropriately, yeah, when the timing is right for everyone involved.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Listeners are trying to get us to talk a little sexy here.
It is interesting that I confess now that, like, making love, that we joked about that. Well, I shouldn't say we joked about it, but kind of, because I was like, who says that, first of all, like in the outside of writing a script moment where I was like, okay, and the
people over 70.
Well, which I appreciate and respect. Yeah. Go get you some. But it took me, like, intimacy, sex, making all of that very different columns, mm-hmm, with different components. And so I do think that I can only be my best, most authentic, hot, and human self with someone that I share an extreme amount of sacred intimacy.
Okay.
That, like, yeah, I think that I've reached a point in my life where the hot and human comes with some, yeah.
Yeah.
Baggage. Like, I want you to know where the buttons are. And right. Like, yeah, exactly. Ooh, okay.
Was it
okay.
50 cents? 50 cent? 50
what
cents.
What did that two-quarter say?
I ain't in there making love. I ain't in there having sex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bottles full of bub. Mama. I got what you
bottles
need.
Full of okay, that's right. 50 Cent, it was only going to be a great weekend with one rap reference. Is it your turn,
my it
turn?
Is my turn,
oh,
yes.
Oh, mercy.
All right, pulling the next one. When do you feel most empowered and embodied in your own skin?
When I'm hot and human with that intimate person. Yeah, when I am just already connected to this person and then I'm in full-fledged freedom slut hot and human mode. When do I feel most empowered? Yeah. In my own skin. Ooh. This is a little bit of a cop-out, but there is something about if I haven't worked out in a while and there's a level of strength when I'm like, you can feel your postures a bit better.
Yeah.
And I know, but that also, is it dopamine or whichever endorphin, like whatever, whatever the good drugs that I make myself on the inside, uh-huh, that I feel that helps too, where the embed, where you feel, I feel capable, I feel.
Endorphins.
Yeah. And so that's a little bit of a sis. I feel empowered when I work out. Like big
I don't
look.
Think that that's a, like, honestly, the biology aspect of like what goes into our behavior. I just had a crazy experience of going way too long without sleep. Uh-huh. And like when I'm well slept, when I've exercised, when I've eaten healthy,
yeah,
like those kind of things make a huge difference that I wish more people focused on. Like
glass of water can go
exactly
a long way.
When people are like, oh, I don't drink water. I just drink all these other things. There's water in there. I'm like, you'd be so nice. I'd like you so much more if you had a bottle of water here and there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We are no longer allowed to not sleep at the same time. I think that that's a tricky one. But you're right. There's no empowerment if you're compromised on one of those like Maslow basic.
Yeah. And I think what we're both saying to answer this question is we recognize that I feel most empowered when I feel good. Uh-huh. And I think that the listener might have been like, how do other people make you feel empowered? That doesn't matter unless I feel good. Is how I'm answering that
There's
question.
Not enough, yeah, compliments to go around. And it also, after this experience, every time we wrap an episode when we are lucky enough to have amazing humans that want to chat with us as well, that I feel so engaged and in it,
yeah,
that, yeah, I'm thinking about things differently. My attention is queued up differently. And I love that too. So I think that, and also we're in this like little sacred where we have got the distractions out intentionally, and that
right.
really puts me in my skin.
You're sort of touching on, to answer the way that I think the listener wanted this question to go, vibing. You know, like when, talk about it musically,
excellent,
comedians will mm-hmm. talk about it, but when you're like sitting in a room
in the
of
flow.
In the flow.
Yep.
That's how I would say I feel empowered, is like when you're just feeding off of each other and in that space of creativity or whatever it is, and you're working in that flow. That's how I feel like I could conquer the world.
Every waking moment with me.
Yeah.
It's just that nice.
All right, you want to pull another one? Keep
yes.
it moving.
Hey, when do you feel most emotionally, naked with me? Okay. When do you feel the most, I love this little ninja out there, the most emotionally naked with me? Does that, like, vulnerable?
Yeah, I think it's a vulnerability question. I like it. Oh,
when do you
man.
Feel emotionally exposed? That sounds a little slutty.
Well, mm-hmm. I think that I'd answer this that, you know, I just mentioned, like, not having enough sleep and not being at my best. But, like, those moments when I'm depleted.
Yeah.
And I come to you, like, there's coming to you whole, and then there's coming to you in a whole different way. And it's like when you're broken down to your core, there's no hiding anything. There's mm-hmm. you can't like it's just all on display and you're kind of just like flopping out.
Yeah, it's a messy.
And I'm vulnerable. And a lot of times you handle that extremely well and sometimes not.
But I was not going to say a lot of times.
Well, it also depends on like, am I coming at you with tired aggression? Am I coming at you with hungry hangriness? You know, like it depends on how it's approached as well. And so it's a very, very vulnerable feeling to be that exposed when you're not at your best, when you're sort of broken down to your foundation.
Yes. And I think that is what we are in, you know, this relationship specifically working on is like, how can I come to you better? Because it's like, I love you. Intentions are good. And I am not. JT knows very well that for him, I am not this soft off all the time. Like, it's not a consistent guarantee that I'm going to be this just warm, let me, you know, just smooch your boo-boos until it's all better. I am a little bit of a nut up, get back on the horse, and we'll talk about it if it happens again sort of a thing. But with my friends and family members, I'm often a bit softer. And so that is tricky where I need to realize like he needs me to be the tough guy in this moment, or I could stand to.
It sounds so mommy.
It does, which is kill. Yeah, is tricky on the vibe.
Yeah,
but sometimes what I've also referred to you as a porcupine on fire.
Yeah,
that he will come and be like, I want this feeling to go away so bad. I'm miserable, and I'm just like wrong energy. Yeah, like not gonna help. Not your teammate on this one.
Well, there's something to be said about that. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of value in letting someone sit with their own emotions and figure it out themselves. You don't need to coddle all the time. Sometimes you really can be hindering progress by mm-hmm. bailing someone out of a situation that they're in. And so I appreciate it. And we're working on the language around how to make that happen naturally, as opposed to me looking.
You're a porcupine on fire. I want no part of it.
Connect with me.
He does yell, connect with me. And I have yelled back, self-soothe. Self-soothe. And so that's not. We're work in progress here.
Working on it.
Yeah. That's really good.
Good question, listener.
But I
good
think
question.
It is. You're right. Where I feel we have created a safe space in the sense of when I have to come to you with something emotionally heavy, that opportunity can present itself. And that's great. But emotionally vulnerable or naked is sleep deprived and sad.
Yeah.
Like a walking definitely. Puddle. Yeah. Okay. Is it my turn?
I think you just read that one. I think it's my turn. Here we go. I'm going to pull this one. All right. What's one sexy or intimate truth you wish more couples would own out loud?
Ooh.
I like that.
Right. I think that's is that our mission statement? Like, shit you should say out loud.
Exactly.
Like, that's what we're promoting.
But it looks like they're looking for it from a sexy angle or an intimate angle.
I think you kind of touched on, correct me if I'm wrong, earlier where knowing your partner don't, like, I feel like all of it is my answer. What's one sexy or intimate truth? All of them. All of them. If you feel it, if that, like, I'm sure I feel that. I've had friends that have, and I've probably said myself, like, oh, I wish he would. I wish it would be so hot if, and right. Why wouldn't I just say that out loud? Does that take like the romance right. and mystery out of it?
I wish he would just do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would. Just ask him.
He's probably dying to. Exactly. He's probably aching to.
I agree with you. That's exactly how I'd answer that.
And I think also like owning your past stuff. If it like there's every relationship you can decide on your own how much you feel comfortable sharing, how much do you feel comfortable having that relationship knowing together. But JT coming with me like, hey, by the way, I didn't actually break up with any girlfriends. I have lack of closure with all helps me contextualize. It gives me a frame of reference of you have like there's more of a fear. Of this can't go, like, yeah, you give your whole heart. It's a beautiful way to love, but it puts you on high alert for any sort of wonkiness. And I have more of a perspective that it helps me love you better when I can, yeah, give, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You more. Hey.
Well done. Okay. I think that's a great answer.
What about you? What's your answer?
I agree. I think just being able to say what you want. It, again, comes from within. You got to connect with yourself first. Mm-hmm. If there's something that you actually want to happen in an intimate setting and it's not, speak up. That's really what it comes down to is like get what you want. If you know what you want, go get it.
Yeah. And easier said than done.
Of course it is. There's a lot of vulnerability here. But if you are with a partner in a relationship, it should be a safe space to be like, hey, what if we tried? Mm-hmm. And if you don't say that, it'll never happen.
Right. Guaranteed it'll never happen.
I wish more people would just know what they want and be able to say it.
Right. And I even feel like volunteering where I would probably come to my partner with, hey, what about this in a context of where it seems like their idea, you know, where it is. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Where I think, yeah, delicate, but worth it, because I think just you never know, because that opportunity to connect there, if somebody's like, oh, man, when you pull that second toe. And they're like, oh my God, me too. Exactly. Me too. Exactly. This is amazing. You found your person.
I think I'm going to go again. I accidentally grabbed two.
Okay.
And I'm really glad that I did, because I think this question was a little bit designed for you.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Here we go. What's one freedom slut moment
that
still makes you laugh or blush?
Okay, so freedom slut, a phase again. Freedom, there's that word.
And for those of you who are maybe joining in for the first time, Jordan refers to her freedom slut phase as post-divorce, before her second marriage, and everything that happened in that time frame.
Right. And again, like, we can, depending on our level of friendship, like how slutty we want to talk about it, but feel I've very much taken ownership of this phase. So what's one moment that I still think about? Oh, God. Are you gonna? JT didn't date.
I can play. So, I don't have a lot to offer, but I did.
It still makes me blush. Okay, there was this one time I heard really wonderful things about this one particular male individual, and I was like, all right, I'm a little curious, and so I pursued my curiosity. This particular person was in having a tough day-ish. And saw me as a kind, for like, we were kind of similar circles. And so let's just say they're crying.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, I'm not leaving till I know. And so.
Know what?
You know, if he was a good kisser.
Uh-huh.
And so I smooched him. And so, yeah, that was a moment that I was like, we're going to power through this therapy session. And so I'm a little embarrassed. So
but
when
you,
everybody
but you
be
found
like,
out.
Hey, did you ever see so-and-so? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw him. And so, like.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Wow. I'm blushy a little bit. Okay. Did you want to go on that one?
I don't really have anything worth contributing. I made out with a. Friend who's a really good friend.
Uh-huh.
When we were messed up at a concert.
Yep.
And then called her the next day and said, so that happened. And she said, no, it didn't. That would be my, and we never talked about it.
No, it never happened. You know, that's great. That's a good friend. And you know, did I dream that? Yeah. Okay. Is that now it's officially my turn?
Yes.
Okay. What is a belief or behavior you had 5 years ago that makes you cringe now?
What first is a thing belief? That popped into my head.
Okay.
And please don't take this the wrong way.
I'm gonna.
I work with kids. I love kids. But 5 years ago, I wanted them. And now I don't.
Okay. That is a swing. Okay. Listener, you did it.
Yeah.
So 5 years ago, yeah, you were actively pursuing.
Yeah.
Parenthood.
Kids and having them. And I have since had the realization of really sort of my calling. I used to think that I wouldn't have these bonds and these connections. And through coaching, through working with kids and the work that I do, I feel like I've raised 1,000 now. Mm-hmm. And that's really changed in my mindset of I have this goal to see the world and travel and work on creative projects. And in every area of my life today, kids feel like a hindrance.
Yes, we are very comfortable in our very ignorant assumption that kids would be supremely limiting. And so we're just going to lean into that
right.
as a household.
Exactly.
But I just watched JT with my lifetime childhood high school bestie and their 6-year-old daughter this past weekend, and like the tears and the welling, it is so fulfilling. And there wasn't 1 second that it was like, wow, I wish we had our own one of those. I was like, let's go home. That's why we were so tired.
It could be.
They're exhausting. And so, but that's a big one.
We love kids and so we could not even possibly understand the magic of having your own and those milestones. And so please don't think we're throwing shade.
No.
Just not for us.
We love that you procreated. I think it makes us, because like.
We will watch your kids.
We will feed them, love them dearly, play. I have a pedicure now that is very special.
Are you doubling down on my answer? Do you want to answer that one too?
Ooh, I think you took the cake.
Okay.
Like, mine would be like, carbs. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I know. I used to pretend I just smoked cigarettes in Europe. And so that was a funny time. And then I don't smoke any of them now. But I took it up like so late when they're like, they're officially like awful, awful, awful. And I was like, I'll try this.
Yeah, we're podcast hosts. So I think it's okay that we say we listen to other podcasts. The Handsome Podcast, Martin. One of the best jokes I heard this year was like, I'm so freaked out by AI, I started smoking cigarettes again because it can't.
It's so good. AI. Like,
Mae Martin, that was
pushed,
a great joke.
Yes. Really shout out. Loved it. Have shared it.
My turn.
Good one. Yes. Go for it.
What surprised you most about being married the second time around?
The lack of freedom. No, I'm joking.
Who wrote this?
I know it was. That one seems a little prickly. What surprised you most about being married the second time around? I thought that everybody had the same, perhaps, first marriage experience. And so it was like, came with the same instructional pamphlet. And so I made a lot of assumptions on things that I thought, oh, we've worked through this. And it was like, oh, no, that was with your other first husband. And so I think that, you are you're still you in a completely new relationship somehow came as a surprise for me. And like the stuff I wasn't willing to address, still there, packed it on up, brought it with me. And so I think that was the fact that I was... Yeah, I just woke up married to you sometimes is how it feels. I'm into it. Have air I mentioned dropped. That? yesterday I told him I felt like I was just airdropped into this chaos.
Yeah, that was special.
I think that could be romantic. Like, again, my survival mode, my senses are heightened. I didn't say like into a volcano.
Yeah.
But so not romantic. Noted. What surprised you? The bliss? The unanticipated bliss?
I guess the most surprising thing about being married the second time is I am going to go positive, and I don't mean to do it
that
way.
That's great.
But I feel so much more open to be who I am. Obviously, my first marriage, I was a lot of trying to be something I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of freedom in how I feel. And the second time around is so liberating in the sense of like, I feel accepted for who I am as opposed to I need to fit a mold or blueprint.
Yeah, and that's one to my answer that I think made us so much fun to be around and really cool that we speak very highly of our previous spouses. And we both have joked that, they would have probably worked out beautifully together.
Yeah, I think they would have.
Because you and I mean, like waving the freak flag, like you and I were like, you know what? I wrote a baseline for my freak flag wave. And I was like, oh man, I choreographed a dance. And so I think if you can find somebody, like even if you just like this one little odd, like you're into teeny tiny miniature log cabins. I don't know. Like if you can find somebody I got weird.
Lincoln Logs.
Yeah. That if you found, somebody to just let you be or lean in or even pretend to have interest in those little things. Like you and I took a lot of like solace in giving each other grace and figuring it out what the hell we were up to.
And we're also open to understanding the interests in others. Like, for instance, I can say, tell me a white person on the Denver Nuggets. And you can say,
oh, we went to KU.
Yes,
Christian Brown.
There you go. Boom.
I know stuff.
You know things about the Denver Nuggets. That's crazy that you would know that.
I do.
Yeah. And so I appreciate that very much.
No, it is perfect. Oh, that's nice. Okay. I love that you're like, I'm going to make this question positive. I didn't think that I have a tendency to swing dark. Okay. May I ask you the next?
Yes, please do. What do we got?
Okay. What is something we've redefined in our relationship that used to feel non-negotiable?
Oh, that's easy for me.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay, what's something we've redefined?
So we've sort of talked about this. Okay. We've sort of talked about this, but the sleeping arrangements.
Oh, good one. I used
to think that there was so much intimacy in sharing a bed with someone and that it was so special and it shouldn't be ever, you know, neglected or frowned upon. And I've realized as an adult, sometimes sleep needs to come first and that there are reasonable situations where we would sleep separately.
Yes.
So everyone can sleep.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that used to be like you wanting to sleep away from me meant that the world was ending.
Yes. You know what I mean? Circling back to that therapy work we're doing on loss. Like it was like this bedroom is legit above the other bedroom.
Yeah.
The two sleeping arrangements in this house are close. But it's true. You have requested nicely in our relationship to not use sleep or sex as a weapon.
Yes.
And so I have respected that I do agree that sometimes like going to bed angry, we've crossed that bridge here, that I'm a fan of have a conversation when you're not going to say things that you instantly regret.
Yes.
And if that means putting a little, getting some Z's in the middle before you can work to make things better or go away, do that. And right. So I'm very grateful.
Or even if you just didn't sleep well, like it doesn't have to be a problem. That's what I've started to realize is like, we did always use that scenario when there was an issue. If we were arguing or one of us didn't get a good night's sleep or was traveling or something.
Well, you're in a fight. He's sleeping on the couch like that bullshit.
You should be able to sleep separately at any time just to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be taken personally. Pointing at myself.
He's pointing at himself. We've got it here recorded forever. That's a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, you come a long way.
Do you have a answer for that one?
Ooh. There is a long-haired dog that lives in this house.
Good point.
There's a horse.
Yeah, we have a donkey, indoor donkey.
There is an Anatolian shepherd
Reuben sandwich.
Who loves me dearly, and I love him, and he has ruined every clean corner of my life. And
yep.
So,
yeah, that's true. Okay.
Nothing but love. Nothing but
We'll move on from Reuben. He's sweet.
He
can hear us, and we don't want him to bark.
That's true. They need me. They need me.
All right.
Can I ask this next one? I just read it. I cheated a little
bit.
What's something you've done for love that you're slightly embarrassed by now? It's like your freedom slut question. What's something, JT, you've done for love that you're slightly?
Change everything about myself.
All of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like the first relationship in my life where I've had enough agency to really understand who I am and be myself. And so when I think back, I was like, oh, that's what she wants. That's what I'll be. Yep. And so, broad answer, but all of it.
You're Rashida Jones on the show Parks and Rec.
That's
when
correct.
She has a boyfriend box with the outfits and the music and the interests of,
Yeah, exactly correct. And it was exhausting. It was a journey to just straight up losing everything about your authenticity. And it's been a long time coming back to it. And so what am I embarrassed about? The shape-shifting and the things that I used to do because I thought that was love, but in reality it wasn't. I was...
Approval.
Right.
Belonging,
And so that's how I'd answer that. What about you?
Son of a gun. I've done plenty of embarrassing crap for love, but I do have to, tell the story of when I took JT on a getaway weekend for a birthday that was not the right number. And it kind of seemed like it was like, hey, milestone. And then it was like, psych, next year. And I felt a little embarrassed because my reaction was, drink a little extra and then feel like I had aged 10 years. Because I was like, hold up, he's the first younger person I've ever dated. And now he's a year younger than what I had assumed. You'd think it would have come up earlier. No. Nope.
I lost track in the pandemic.
We blame the pandemic. I know it's come up, but slightly embarrassed.
Had an uncelebrated birthday in there.
I'm glad we went big. I've totally come to terms. Oh, my poor little shapeshifter. Oh. All right,
my turn now, right? Okay.
Let's do it.
We got a few more at least, right?
I say let's do last two.
Okay.
We got to do it. I'm getting sweaty.
We are getting close on time here. Here we go. What's your go-to move when feeling disconnected from each other?
To scream at you. Self-soothe. Self-soothe.
To scream and yell.
Screaming and yelling is our new thing, and I'm not doing well with it.
We're doing that too much, but that's taking the question a little seriously.
Okay.
I usually do come to you, Porcupine on Fire. I'm feeling disconnected and I want to connect with you. And that does deter you.
Yes, there's nothing that turns me on more than hearing the word connected or disconnected. Welcome to our connection podcast, because it is incredibly important to me, but I think that I pride myself on trying to take the cues, to give them, to receive them. And so if you come to me with, I'm feeling disconnected, I instantly feel like a failure. And so I lash out in anger and I'm like, figure it out on your own. Where I do, I feel like, oh, well, you could have made an effort. Where I think if you're feeling disconnected, you're like, hey, planned us a little picnic. Or I've said many times, little pinch on the tuchus, weirdly anti-feminist, and I don't mean to be. But I'm like, I hope that doesn't. But I am like, oh, he's not getting that, registers with me as like, my boy needs a little extra attention. And I realize that I haven't, you know, inquired about your day in a active listening, like actually give a hoot. And I'll catch myself going through the motions. But for some reason, you saying like, hey, I'm feeling a little disconnected, I'm just like, oh, barf. Our life is not a therapy session. And so I'm like, we can do better. And so if you start shuffling cards even, or get dog leashes out to go on a walk, like I'll be right behind you.
So those are all the things I can do. What can you do? Or do you never really feel that disconnect?
No, I usually just like come find you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I think my answer too would be actively listening to you.
Yeah.
Because you're telling me what you need. And if I met your needs, my needs would get met too. And so that's really what it is like my need for connection can be overwhelming. And so if I listen to what you need in that moment, it will lead to us reconnecting. It might not be in the moment that I want, but it will be more positive and more what we're actually after. If I can actually listen to what you need, take care of myself, and we can reconvene, that's how we'll actually get the connection back. And it takes a little bit more time and some patience, but I'm working on it.
And I think, yes, we've gotten better. Start with the hug.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and definitely. It is just like don't have to say anything. And that can get the playing field leveled for sure. Because there is nobody I want to take care of more so than you. He's a great hugger. I mean, talk about this man coming up and being like, hold me. Like, I absolutely love it, but I am a tough nut sometimes. So thanks for riding that wave.
All right. Is this going to be the last one?
There's two left in this stack, and then we have
You should read them both and make a judgment call.
Here we
on
go.
The fly.
I'm going to just ask you both. What would you tell your past self the night before you met me?
Oh, my God. Did you write this?
Nope, but I'm really intrigued. What would you tell your past self the night before?
Nut up.
That's my line.
Grow up, buddy.
Oh.
No, and what I mean by that.
Buckle up. Yeah, hang on tight.
What I mean for that is that I think we started this relationship in that honeymoon phase, like most people do. And you are a task-oriented, your love language is when I can achieve things without you telling me. The acts of service.
Anticipating so needs.
Maybe it would even be that, to put the nut up back into a box. I would say acts of service is her love language. Because that would tell me so much about you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I feel very seen and loved by that. The night before I met you, I would say, hold him. Yeah. Oh, yeah? You deserved a break. And I was like, let's get this barn built. And so, yeah, I think I would have gentled up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, as opposed to straight up devouring you.
Wow.
I came at you hard. And so I would have, yeah. But
some
people like a honeymoon. Some people like it when everything's flammable. So, you know, and the last one to wrap us up, what is one ridiculous quirk or habit of yours that I secretly love?
Oh, I don't like the way you're looking at me.
I know. What's a ridiculous quirk or habit? I like that you hide poetry in the world. I love that you will, like, there will be, back to the airplane reference on the emergency, there will be a penciled little small poem that'll get you thinking,
yep,
or curious or uncomfortable slightly. And so all around the word, JT's, leaving on the lyrical wisdom. I love it.
Oh, that's very nice. In the van days, it used to be like message in the bottle style stuff. I used to love to leave little
breadcrumbs
notes around. Yeah. Hey, I love that one. Mm-hmm. Mine was a little different, and I can't really rethink it on the fly.
I'm ready.
I love your secret mirror habits. You try to keep them so private, but like when you're putting on your makeup or you have something to take
preening
on your face, like you look at this, like, I love the way that you are. And it's just so awesome to see these mannerisms that you have that I don't know if they've been shamed in the past or what. I find them adorable.
I will have that errant chin hair and walk a mile and a half away to then hold my phone flashlight in my teeth.
I think it's awesome.
To then tweeze and yet, yeah. Oh, God. Thank you.
And a lot of times, because I think it's so adorable, when I can't find you and I have the inclination to be like, oh, I should track her, figure out where she is. And I know it's a bad idea. I go, oh, she's preening.
She's preening. She doesn't need me. I did. I made that joke visiting the friend and the six-year-old. I was like, shave my beard before I came to see you. Oh, being a girl is hard. Okay. Good. This was fun.
So awesome.
We made it.
And our listeners came with thunder.
That was like, really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're,
didn't know what I was getting into. Sacred intimacy. Oh,
man, that was a lot of fun. These were some hard-hitting questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I hope that this has inspired conversations with you guys, made you think about your own lives and really what connects you to yourself.
Make it okay to want what you want.
Yes.
And then say it out loud and let's go get some.
Love it.
Be kind to each other. I stole that and that's not great. But like, let's be nice today. Let's go out and look for some good.
Absolutely. Well, I'm JT.
And I'm Jordan. Until next time.
Be brave, beautiful friends.
If you enjoyed this conversation, it would mean the world to us if you had a second to share this episode or your favorite episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow on the homepage at letsdigintothat.com or wherever you find your podcast. Thank you, Love Ninjas.
The impact of your support is greater than you could ever imagine. Thank you, thank you, thank you.